Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody happy to be in church tonight? Praise the Lord. I know I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just so thankful for the Holy Ghost, so thankful for... Can you bring me down just a hair, just a little bit loud? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for God, His Word. I'm so thankful for all the things that He's given us. Amen. To stand solid, to stand faithful. Praise the Lord. He's given us the ability, you know, Sunday's message was a well-needed, well-timed message, praise the Lord by God. You know, I was telling my wife today, I said, there's part of me that just wants to reverse messages next weekend and preach Corey's, the one I preached in Corey last weekend in Mayville this week, and the one I preached in Mayville this week to preach it in Corey, because they're both needed, amen. And of course, if the Lord has me do that, I will, but praise God for lives being set free, amen. You might sit here and say, well, my life wasn't set free by that. Well, praise the Lord. Just go back and listen to the message again. It'll be set free the second time around. If it didn't get you the first time, maybe I'll get you the second time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called, What are you mindful of? Praise the Lord. What are you mindful of? Or you could say it this way, what is your mind full of? Amen. Now, of course, I like to do play on words. I always like to come up with something a little bit, you know, like that. And of course, we're talking about mindful. But what you're mindful of is usually what your mind is full of. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about, you know, following God. You know, the scripture we're going to start off, you can go ahead and turn there. It's Matthew 16:23. But the scripture we're starting off in tonight is a scripture that, it's a scripture that has been rolling around in me for several days now, mostly in the morning. It's interesting how the Lord will speak to you. It seems like there's something with the morning. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but he'll speak to me a lot in the morning. And there'll be something that'll be just stirring in my spirit. Glory to God. That was Matthew 16:23. And, you know, when you get that, when there's something, have you ever had that? Just like something's just there, you're maybe not quite sure what it is. You know, that means it's time to start seeking God. Amen. And, of course, I did kind of forget about it. But then the Lord kept reminding me of it. Then even this morning, as I was taking my daughter to school, and we had just got done saying our scriptures and our morning confession and stuff like that, and here the scripture was again, and it's a powerful scripture, one that we need to take heed of. But praise God, hallelujah, we'll get into the message here. What are you mindful of? Amen. Matthew 16:23. This is, of course, Jesus had told the disciples about his death that was coming up, and Peter didn't like that he was talking about that. He didn't want to lose him, amen. But he confronted the Lord about it, amen. And this is Jesus' response, and we see it here in verse 23. It says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" Well, praise the Lord. That doesn't sound like something very nice to say that somebody was just concerned about you, does it? But see, this is a problem that we can get into sometimes. This is something that can kind of dog us. And there's a principle in this that we need to see. And that's that sometimes we're just going to do what our flesh tells us to do. We're just going to go after what our emotions tell us to do. And all the time, it distracts us from what God wants us to do. See, emotions are a great and wonderful thing. God's given us our emotions to enjoy life, to experience life. You know, we have a wide range of emotions, and it's good that we experience them. In fact, we know generally there's something wrong when people aren't experiencing the emotions. You know, usually there's something off in their chemistry or something like that. So we know emotions are a good thing. But they're not. We have to keep all things in balance. Amen. Though emotions are a good thing, they're not a good thing to live by. They're not a good thing for us to lead us. Amen. And the truth is that most people are led by their emotions. Most people are led by, you know, what they instantly think, or their instant reaction. And this is why we have so many people in the world that will act out in kind of a wrong way, amen. Of course, we see this in the news a lot and stuff like that. But you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. I still there'll be times where I act out in my emotions, and it wasn't God's will. But specifically here, we're seeing something where Jesus was laying out the plan of God. So you could say that God was laying not the plan of God, amen. And man was coming against it based on their emotions. And see, so often this happens that God will try to get something over to somebody, but because of the emotions that we carry, because of our tendencies to feel a certain way or to like certain things, we'll just instantly kind of rail against it. But see, that hinders us from what God is trying to do in us, amen? There's so many areas that this can apply to, but we need to not be emotional people when it comes to making decisions. Be emotional when you are at a birthday party. Be emotional when somebody surprises you. You know, be emotional when somebody graduates or something like that. Keep emotions where they're supposed to be, but not when you make your plans, not when you make your decisions. Amen. One of the places that this message, or the context of this message, is birthed out of is something that the Lord has been dealing with me a lot on. Now, my pastor taught me early on something that was very helpful for me, but I would say, oh boy, I'd never do that. And my pastor would always tell me, don't ever say I'd never do that, because once you start saying that, there's two things that happen. If you want to serve God, if your heart is truly after God, if you say I'll never do this or that, God will require it from you. But on the other side of it, if you're just a normal person, if you say, I'll never do that, then it just hinders you. It keeps you from ever doing what God wants you to do, because you've already, now see, this is the thing about it. You've already made a decision by your speech. You've already announced what your decision is. And therefore, nobody has the right to come change your mind, because that would be called witchcraft, right? And so we understand that my pastor told me about that. And so what we kind of adjusted our speaking a little bit, amen, to I'd never want to live there and do, I'm so glad I'm not called to that town, right? Praise the Lord. But then you have to be careful of even that. But then we would justify it by saying, well, the Lord would have to speak to me to make me go there. Have you ever done that? Amen. The Lord would have to appear to me. I've said this. This is one of my favorite phrases over the years, was to say, the Lord would have to appear to me for me to ever do that. Well, I was my wife and I were out for a walk this afternoon, and I told her something, and this is something God's been dealing with me on. I said, why would God have to appear to me? Why would God have to do something major just to get me to be in his will? That doesn't sound like a very obedient and willing person, does it? That sounds like somebody who's being forced into something. And you know, the truth is God won't appear to you. Because God doesn't work that way. Now, God does appear to people at times, but not when somebody's being obstinate, not when somebody's saying, I'm just not going to have it. Right. You know what I mean? Unless God absolutely has to for the sake of other people. But there'll be a lot of things that we're hindered from in life because we just simply say, I can't do that. I would never do that. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. All those types of things. And so God has been correcting me, actually, to the point that every single time I say the Lord would have to appear to me, that I get grieved in my spirit. Have you ever gotten grieved in your spirit? It's like you know you did something wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love my dog. My dog, I don't know where she got it from. I've never laid a hand on her that I can think of. Praise the Lord. Except to pet her, to love on her. But, she knows when she did something wrong. And all you have to do is change that. One of my favorite things to watch are those on YouTube are those the dog shaming videos. Have you ever seen those? I just love the dog shaming videos. What did you do? And you just change your voice. And that dog just instantly, the head goes down and they start, because they can sense that there's a change. And I know that sounds kind of cruel and mean, but it's really not. It's funny. Praise the Lord. After all, if the dog tore up the house or the garbage or whatever, what did you do? But that's exactly how I feel on the inside. When I say that, kind of my head goes down, and I start feeling like a little weight's been put on you. You know what I mean? But we want to be people that are open to what God is having us to do. We don't want to bind ourselves in what we won't do. What we make up things or we make up scenarios. I've seen examples of this recently, but I've seen it over the years as well, where maybe somebody gets hurt in something. You get hurt trying something, and then you won't go back to that thing, or you won't try that out. Maybe you get hurt in a relationship, and you won't go back and try out a relationship again, or you put it off because you got hurt or burned once. Well, that's not a way that a person of faith acts. A person of faith says, I'm just going to keep moving. There's plenty of times where I've gotten into the pulpit and I didn't like how I preached. I didn't like the message that came out. I don't like how it came out. And I knew it was me, not the people. Amen. I knew it was something that I didn't do. There's times where I've been in the pulpit, left the pulpit, and never wanted to return to the pulpit. But why do I? Because I'm not going to live by emotions. I'm not going to live by one failure or many failures. Amen. I'm going to live according to faith. The Bible says that we're to walk in faith. Amen. That the just shall live by faith. Amen. When we live by faith, that means that we are continuing no matter what the circumstances have said. It means that no matter how many doors you've tried and have been locked, you're still going to keep trying doors. Because if you don't, you'll never go through them. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so we see here in the scripture, we see Jesus kind of dealing with this attitude or idea that somebody is going to be led by their emotions and they're going to make the decision that they're going to make. And get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. If Peter had been spiritual enough and been mindful of the things of God, he wouldn't have fought this. He might not have liked it, but he wouldn't have fought it. He would have gone along with it, knowing that, because you think about what's at stake at this. If Jesus had not continued to do what he said he was going to do, none of us would have ever been saved. No human would have ever got to go to heaven because of this one event, if Jesus had listened to this one thing. Yeah. Now, Jesus' flesh, we find out in Scripture that his flesh at the time was also telling him, I don't want to do this. In fact, he pled with the Lord 3 times, if there's any other way, make it happen. Yeah. But this was the only way, amen? And so he committed himself to that. But what's it say? He says, you are an offense to me. And what that means is that that word offense literally means stumbling block. It's an offense is a stumbling block, something that keeps us going forward. Actually, sometimes I believe the translation of offense in Scripture is actually a snare or a trap. A snare or a trap that will keep you, you think about an animal that gets caught in one of those traps, you know, those big tooth, you know, traps. They trap like beavers or something, foxes and stuff like that. You know, those things, when they get trapped in those, man, they can't go anywhere. They're kind of in a dire straits, right? And that's kind of the same thing that an offense is. An offense is really anything that causes you to stumble away from the plan of God. And we don't want to stumble away from the plan of God. So we don't want to have, you know, some people, there's things that they will never do just because, you know, we were raised this way, and we don't do that in this time, this area. Praise the Lord. This thing, this you can actually see this. It's like a virus or a cancer. It is spread. It'll spread through a whole area. There'll be areas that'll be under bondages of something just simply because a certain mindset was there and people perpetuated it. This is how we are. This is actually, you know, there's something I love that's both a blessing and can be a curse sometimes in small towns. And that's the small town mentality that it's only us. And see, only us, the problem with that is that you never, you remember, you don't remember because I wasn't preaching it here, but in Korea we preached about thinking bigger and thinking like God thinks, you know. You're thinking, and you'll never think bigger if you're only thinking about you and yours, if you're only thinking about what's here, amen? You know, there's a whole world out there. I love my wife gives an example. You know, she's met kids over the years. She's a teacher. She ran parks programs and stuff like that. And she was driving the kids up when she was on a program up to from Jamestown City Park. She was driving them up to Lakewood to go miniature golfing, was it? To go miniature golfing, and she brought them via Celeron Way. Now, if you know that way, it basically brings you around the lower end of the lake. And as they were driving by, some of the kids said, "What is this?" They'd never seen the lake. They live in Jamestown. They're all life, maybe teenagers or close to teenagers. Never seen the lake their entire life. You know, of course, we see it all the time. You can't miss it in Mayville. But, you know, there's people that were just a few miles of it that completely missed out on something that, and you think about what the lake, I mean, the lake is a whole industry in of itself. It brings people in. It's, you know, people vacation. It brings lots of money and tax dollars to the area. There's a lot of benefits to having that lake here. And here's some people that didn't even know that it was there. You know, and that's kind of the same thing metaphorically, I guess. You could think of it that way. With God, there's if we get bound by just small town, and I'm not saying, like, listen, I love living in a small town. I think it's you couldn't pay me enough, praise the Lord, to want to move back to, like, Jamestown versus Mayville. Now, I'm completely willing to go. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just say that. I'm not even saying that God would have to appear to me. All he'd have to do is put an inkling in me. I'd be back there and I'd be happy. I'm saying, naturally speaking, my flesh doesn't want to go back there. Amen. It likes a small town. So I'm not at all complaining about that or anything like that. But I want to be wherever God has me. You know, my wife and I went to Manhattan. We love visiting cities. And this is one thing that's really great about both of us is that, if there's anything great, you know what I mean? But it's that we're very versatile. In other words, I'm just as happy as a city as I am out in the woods. You know, I like them both. I probably couldn't ever pick one that I love more, I should say, because there's benefits to both of them. But, you know, when we were in Manhattan, we're like, man, I wouldn't want to have to be here. But see, even that can be a dangerous thing. Even just saying, I wouldn't want to have to be here. Well, why would I be led by my feelings? Why would I make a decision based on what I wanted on the surface? Listen, if you want to go get something to eat, get whatever you want to eat. Let your emotions control you when you get something to eat. You know what I'm saying? Like if you want a burger, go have a burger. If you want a steak, go have a steak. You know what I mean? If you got an inkling that way. But why, when it comes to things that would affect the plan of God, do we question? There's times where being in a church, any certain church, will be a little bit difficult. You know, you'll go through periods of times where maybe sitting under the type of sermons that are being preached or the time period, there'll be temptations on the flesh and the devil will come at you. But why would we want to break away from where God wants to bless us? You know, and that's why it's important that we know things. It's different if a lot of Christians, they just bebop around, just kind of live life however. And those are Christians that never really get into the plan of God. They never really see fruit in their lives. God will answer prayers as far as he can. He will do as much for them as he can, but they'll never experience the fullness of what God has for them because they just bebop around. And then there's another type of Christian that earnestly seeks God, desires, like, Lord, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? It's called consecration, amen? Praise the Lord. All that out of just one scripture. But we understand that it's very important where our minds are. It's very important where we allow our minds to be. Amen. We make decisions all the time. You know, I've said this before. I talked about any major decision I make in my life, I submit it to somebody. Of course, I always submit it to my wife, but I also submit it to my pastor. I also submit it to my pastor's pastor. Why do I do that? Because there's sometimes they hear things that I missed. Yeah. And when I do that, it saves us from trouble. It saves us from getting into trouble, because when you have when you want to do something really important, we had when I worked in the factory, we had praise the Lord, we had inspections, and I was an inspector, and these there's certain types of things that we would work on where the inspection process had to have a government inspector come in and watch you inspect the part. That's how serious it was. So see, things were really important. We had oversight on, in other words. And you had other people that would sign off, and you would have different certifications that you had to maintain and stuff like that just to inspect certain parts. Why is that? Because they were very important. Well, why wouldn't Christians, with the most important things in their life, look, we can make decisions just based on what we want. I can't tell you what you want. But you know, there's a difference between that and submitting something before somebody who is spiritual to help you make a decision. I'm not talking to like run lives. Not every decision I make, my pastor is necessarily even agreed with or necessarily would want to do that or suggested that I do that, you know. But my pastor also has learned that he also, you know, not just with me, but just in general, has learned that you answer people in a certain way as well. You don't, because the Bible tells us that we don't run people's lives, amen. And it's very important that happens. But it is very important to be submitted to things, because when it comes to the plan of God, we want to make sure that we're on it, because that's where all our blessing is, amen. Right. Oh, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Praise God. That was the introduction, right? Hallelujah. A lot of good stuff in that, though. Amen. There's a lot of help for people if they will connect to it. You know, I'm not saying every little thing. You know, I don't. If I buy a vehicle, I don't ask somebody else if it's God or not. Praise the Lord. If I buy, you know, if I'm buying, a new, we've had appliances and stuff go, or we decided, you know, we want to remodel something or whatever. You know, we don't ask. You understand what I'm talking about. We got to keep it in context here, too. But major decisions that could really affect my life, I do submit before others. Amen? And that's the way I look at it. If it's going to have impact on my life in some way, or could have a strong impact on my life some way, I want to make sure that I have that extra government inspector. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise God. Let's start verse 11. Praise the Lord. It says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. And I'll say this to you, O Mayvillians. Praise the Lord. I believe that's the same thing in this church. I believe we speak plainly to people and openly with people. We don't hide things. We kind of wear things. You know, I even tell you when I screw up. Praise the Lord. Why do we do that? Because we want you to understand that my idea or the way that we were led when we came out to pastor was that we had to be who God made us to be as pastors. And so we were just going to be real with people. We weren't going to try to candy coat things or sugarcoat things. We were going to preach the word, and we were just going to be who God made us to be. That doesn't mean that there weren't things that need to get fixed or still aren't things that need to get fixed. But we just kind of put it out there, amen? And I believe that's what Paul was saying here as well, amen? My heart is wide open to you. When I share something with you, I pour my heart into the messages. I pour out, you know, what God has shown me. I do that on purpose. Amen. He says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. I love that. You know, sometimes people will sit in church and they'll hear a message and they think they're being restricted by the word, by the one who's preaching. They'll say, well, this direction or that direction, it sounds like more like a command. It sounds like you're telling me what to do. It sounds like you're restricting us. You're restricting us from being able to have fun. You're restricting us from being able to do this. I can't even, praise the Lord, I can't even give an offering without you restricting me or whatever. You know, but what Paul was saying here was really important. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. See, this is an important thing to understand. Now, I looked up this word affections. This is really interesting, but we're going to see it here. Now, you've heard me say often that the Spirit, we understand through Scripture that the Spirit is found like in the midsection. That's where our spirit is. Sometimes we call it the heart. Modern day people think of the heart as just up in here because that's where our heart is. But when back in the old times when they talked about the heart, they meant the center of man, the center being of man. We talk about the gut instinct and stuff like that, right? Well, praise the Lord. That word affections is translated, it means bowels. Now, that needs some explanation. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're restricted by your bowels. You can go to church. You can go home tonight, and you can put on Facebook. Pastor told me I am restricted by my. Some people are restricted by their bowels. Amen. That's what laxatives are for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be restricted in our bowels. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's take this a little bit further. The bowels were regarded as the seat of more violent passions, such as anger and love. The bowels were regarded as the seat of more violent passions, such as anger and love, but by the Hebrews as the seat of tender affections, especially kindness, benevolence, compassion, hence our heart. Praise God. And so we understand that what he's saying here is that it's essentially our emotions. Is what it is. It's the things that make us who we are, amen. Those things that come out of you, amen. Whatever you're portraying at a certain point. And so, what we understand here is that is what we're. That's what your affections are. That's what you are restricted by. See, you will be restricted. You will be either freed or confined by how you allow those things to control your life. Does that make sense? We'll be controlled by how we allow these things to build and how we allow these things to guide us and lead us. There's a lot of things. You know, I was telling my son the other night, there's a lot of things that I don't want to do in life. There's a lot of things that I just, you know, they're not things I want to do. Is there anybody here that woke up today and said, hey, I really want to go to work today? Now, if you did, praise the Lord for you. Glory to God. You got a good job. And you're blessed. You know, but there's a lot of us who would much rather be on a vacation than any job. Amen? a job is a means to the end, but and sometimes we can enjoy our jobs. Not saying that it's bad to enjoy your job, but you know, there's a lot of us. But if we were controlled by that, we wouldn't have the things that we have. You can go to church. We tell this to people all the time. You can go to church. You can tithe. You can give. You can be faithful to church. But you go out there and you be a bad steward of your money, and God ain't gonna bless you. He ain't. He's or very little. And why is that? Because stewardship is required. You can't go out there. You can't just come to church and tithe and give and do all these things that the Bible says to do, but then not contribute to society. Not be now. You know, it's different. Obviously, if you're, you know, if you were injured or something like that, or if you're retired or different things, you know, obviously there are things that exempt some people from work. But for the most part, you know, people they think they can go out there and just do whatever they want to do, and God's just gonna come in and cover it all up. But that's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. We have to put our hands to the plow. It's the same thing with anything. We want to receive the blessings of God. We want to be freed from addictions. Well, unless you put your hand to the plow, you're never going to be freed from addictions. What does that mean? It means you're going to have to put something down. Now, God will give you the power to as you step out. But we see that God's power always meets us as we're already stepping in to whatever we're stepping into. This is why people either succeed or fail. It isn't because God loves one more than the other. Praise the Lord. You know, I've seen people quit all kinds of things, and they quit them in different intervals. But the whole thing always comes down to the same thing, is that they had to put their hand to it to make sure that it happened. Amen? It's like that with absolutely anything. You have to decide, I'm not going to be ruled and controlled by my emotions, that I'm not going to be controlled by my affections, that I will put these things down, I will put down what I have to do what I have to do. And that's why most of us wake up and go to work, right? That's why most of us will go back and do the things that we don't love to do, amen? Is there anybody who, I'll tell you one thing I hate doing. I hate doing plumbing. And I don't mind so much about feed drains. I mean the exit drains. I hate them because they never have anything in them that's good. You know, there's never, and whenever you have to get into them, it's always for a reason that's not good. They're backed up. They're plugged up. You know, a lot of times, yeah, they're bowels, amen? Praise the Lord. They're the bowels of the house, amen? A lot of times, they're plugged up with things like hair. We got ladies in our house, and they don't like to keep all the hair in their head. They like to get rid of some of it once in a while. Praise the Lord. And where do they send it? They send it right down the drain. Well, guess who usually has to work with it when it goes down the drain? One of my sons. No, I'm just kidding. I have trained them, and you know, they do it. Last time we had a drain that we had to unplug, I think Mark got to do it. But praise the Lord. But what, that hair balls up in there, and it doesn't just stay hair. That would be fine. What does it do? It collects everything else. You know, as a plumber, I'm going to tell you something, and it is be a little bit graphic, but I feel the need to share it with you. But as a plumber, one thing, or a person who's worked on plumbing, not a plumber, but a person who's worked on plumbing, one thing that I have learned to hate is the noises that come out of bathrooms. There are all kinds of different noises. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're brushing your teeth, and what do you hear? Why do I hate that so much? Because I know if there's anything in that drain, yeah. This is not something I want to do. I'm just illustrating a point here, love. You know, I have to get the full, praise the Lord. It wasn't near as bad as what Reverend Greer told us, so praise God. Hallelujah. But so you understand, it's not something I want to do, but I want to have a working drain more than I want to have, don't want to get into the drains. Amen? And so what do? We clean them out every once in a while. We do things. We do maintenance to things. Amen? Why do we do that? Because we need to. So we understand that even though our emotions tell us, you know, I'll put it off because I don't want to do it. You understand where we're coming from. But that, you know, that's exactly the same kind of thing. We have to look at our whole life that way. We can't be controlled by our affections, because that is what restricts us. Notice that the word says here, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. What are you restricted from? The blessings of God. The increase of God, moving further into the things that He has for you, opening those doors that you've been desiring to be open. Those are the things that you're restricted by. You're restricted because you know what? God wants to bless you, and you sit there and say, well, I don't like that type of thing. I won't do it. He can't bless you. You've closed the door of blessing to Him. Amen? You're all here on Tuesday nights. There's people that say, I won't go to a Tuesday night service. What are they doing? They're restricted by their affections. Because something on the inside of them, you know, obviously there's people that there's trade-offs, you know, sometimes people have small kids and different things. There's different things that we do, understand that. But there's people that won't ever go to an extended meeting, like a guest minister meeting. We tried to go to all of them, but there was a time when we didn't. And in that time period, what were we doing? We were restricting ourselves by what we wouldn't do. And that is the problem that so many Christians face. That it's not the devil, it's not God. They are restricted by their own affections. They are restricted by what they have determined in their heart that they will or will not do. Praise God. There's people that, bless God, I have to have this seat. I have to have this spot. I have to have the pastor talk to me this much. There's all these different things. People have walked themselves right out of a church. They're restricted by their own affections. There's people that leave the church. We've had many dozens of people that have come and sat in this ministry, and God has called here to be blessed. And I know I didn't call them here, but I knew God was doing it. I saw things for their future. Many people. Oh, from the very beginning. And those same people are restricted by their own affections. Something moved them on. Something was more important than the leading of the Lord. And so they didn't seek that. What they sought was what their flesh wanted. And so we understand we don't want to be people like that. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Just as we're open, you also be open. Now look what it says here. I love this. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? I saw this today. There's been something the Lord's been showing me, and it's not changing Scripture, but it's looking at it from a different angle. What it is a lot of times is stopping partway through a verse, and it's just to magnify something that it's saying in there. But you can see, but just think about that. Do not be unequally yoked. How about if God doesn't want us to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, He probably doesn't want us to be unequally yoked with anything. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? It means when you're yoked to something, you're tied to it. And so wherever that's going to go, you're going to go. And so, if you take, I love Pastor Michael's example. I won't use his example, but I'll use one in my own house. Amen? I got my son here. He likes to run. Now, he was just telling me, he hasn't run in a little while, so it slowed him down some. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. I don't like to run. I just don't like to do it. I'm not a fast runner. I'm not a good runner. I probably could be if I wanted to, but I just don't even want to be. But here's the thing. If God told me to, I wouldn't. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. If Mark and I were in a race, Mark would take off and he would do real well, and I wouldn't, right? But now if I tied myself to Mark and said, now we're going to run, what would it do? It would slow him down, right? And it would cause me to stumble. Because he's going to be trying to run as fast as he can, and I'm not going to be able to keep up with them, so I'm going to be hurting. And then at the same time, I'm slowing up. We're unequally yoked. And so that's exactly what this scripture is talking about. Of course, we understand this. We tell people a lot of times when they're looking to get married, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But I saw this. This is one of the things I saw in here. I want to share it with you and submit it to you. If you don't like it, well, praise the Lord. But I think it's not unheard of to say this, especially in context of what we're about to read. But don't be unequally yoked together with unbelief. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelief. What does it mean being when you are yoked to something that is opposite you? It's an unequal yoking of tying together. Amen. Don't go with unbelief. Don't be, in other words, something that is not faith. Don't accept that. If it's not like the awesome thing about our faith is that there's no limitations on faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. All of them are. All things are possible. That means that with faith, anything is possible. Anything that you can dream up, it's possible through faith. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It says possible. All things are possible to him who believes, right? But not if you're yoked together with unbelief. Not if you're standing in unbelief. You can't go into what faith will get you because you're restricted by your affection of unbelief. And what maybe your affection is well, you know, I don't, praise the Lord, I don't like the nighttime. So I don't want to be somewhere where, that's a bad example. I don't like the cold weather. I love, Pastor Michael hates the cold weather. Where does he live? Fredonia, New York. Why is he living in Fredonia, New York? Because that's where God's called him to be. He's not going to be restricted by his affections. He's going to be where God has. Now, I feel God's calling me in Hawaii. I'm sensing it. I'm just letting you know that, amen. We'll take up an offer and get me there, hallelujah. That's a joke, hallelujah. We're not going to do that. But yeah, mom wants to go with me. Well, you know, you can go with me. Hey, it's only fair. You kept me here all my life. I might as well take you with me when I go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's a good thing my wife likes you. Praise the Lord. Makes this relationship really easy, a lot easier. Praise God. Hallelujah. Doesn't just like her, loves her. Amen. Amen. But, we're going to be where God has us planted, where he wants us to be, because that's where we'll flourish. That's where we'll grow. That's where all our blessing is. But if we're yoked by unbelief, we're not going to get there. Amen. And it says here, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion or fellowship, the same thing, has light with darkness? In other words, if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. You can't change that. But if you're right, then what? And we're supposed to be righteous, which means you're right, right? If you're right, then why would you want to be yoked to something that's wrong? I certainly wouldn't. Amen. There's no blessing in that. Praise the Lord. let's continue on. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Now, a lot of you might not know what Belial is. I didn't, so I looked it up. I wrote it in my Bible because I thought it was important. It's actually another name for Satan. But literally, the translation of Belial means worthlessness. And what accord has Christ with worthlessness? It's worthless to do things that are not profitable. Right? Listen, there's every once in a while I'll sit down and I'll play some kind of game on my phone or something like that. But how many of us know that's worthless? Yeah. There's nothing that comes out of it. Now, it's okay every once in a while to have some downtime and to do something that's mind-numbing and boring. Just to, like, you know, sometimes after I preach, I have to do that. I have to do something that kind of brings, you know, just kind of where I'm not thinking. You know what I mean? But it's not good if you live that way. Many people live that way. Praise the Lord. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What if the believer and the unbeliever is all wrapped up in one? I'll believe this, but I won't believe that. I'll do this out of faith, but I won't do that out of faith. You see, your affections will restrict you. If you will, you can listen. There's people that will say, I will do this in faith. I'll do this in faith. I'll do this in faith. But that one thing, I won't do. I just won't do it. I'll come to church. I'll give into the offering. But I won't tithe. What are you doing? You're restricting yourself. We're not restricting. You're restricting yourself. There's some people that literally, I've seen this before. Some people, I will tithe. I will give into the offering, but I won't come to church. They're restricting themselves. There's people that will, you know, I'll believe in healing. I'll believe in faith, but that speaking in tongues business, I don't want anything to do with that. You're restricting yourself. These are all things that people deal with. Whatever we come in and we say, I won't, that's what we're doing is we're restricting ourselves instantly. Amen? Praise the Lord. I got to get moving because my time is ticking. Hallelujah. So, verse 16, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You know what I did in my Bible? I drew a line and an arrow and circled it. From idols, and I brought it all the way back up to affections. And I connected those two words. Why did I do that? Because your affections, essentially there, your affections that control you, become, that's idol worship. What idols are, it doesn't have to be some kind of statue of some god, like Buddha or something like that, that you worship to make it idol worship. Amen? What it, all that idol worship is, or all idol idolatry is whenever you put something ahead of God, whenever there's something that says, and anything you put above God's word, anything you put above God's, what God's speaking to you or trying to get over to you, anytime those things rise above that, it becomes idol worship. That's idolatry. Amen? And it's saying, what agreement has the temple of God? You are the temple of God, right? Well, it goes on to say, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. It's the world that says, you know what, I was hurt, I can't move forward. It's the world that says that. It's never God. God says that you can be hurt, but you can get back up and be just as strong as you were if you don't let your affections control you, if you don't let your preconceived notions control you. Oh, I'm so afraid of this. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of anything? What do you fear? Well, I'm just afraid of this. I'm afraid that if I get back into a relationship that this will happen. I'm afraid that if I go down this road, I'm afraid if I apply for the job again that I won't get it. I'm afraid that if I go out in public again or if I go to a church again that I'll get burned. I've been burned in churches. I know what it's like. But if it stops, I would have never been pastoring. I would have never fulfilled the plan of God for my life. I would never be reaching the people I'm reaching. I would never be helping those who I was called to help. All because my affections wanted to keep me from doing it. But see, I didn't allow that, and you shouldn't allow it either. It doesn't matter what happened before. Are you moving forward with God? Are you moving forward in faith? Well, listen, this is an idiot. It doesn't mean, if somebody burns you, that you just let them come back in and keep burning you. No, at some point you have to put up a stop sign and say, listen, I'm not standing for this, but we're not going to have it keep us back anymore. I spent enough time following the devil. I spent enough time in the world. I don't need to go back and live in the world again. Hallelujah. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's important. When he says, I will be a father to you, that means something. Yeah. What does the Bible say about the way that parents should raise their children? Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way they should go. You don't think your Heavenly Father wants to train you up in the way you should go? But what happens if you reject a training? Yeah. You know, the training is when God tells you to do something. Sometimes God will have you do something that makes absolutely no earthly sense, but he'll have you do it because he wants you to learn something. Yeah. There's trials that we have to go through simply because we won't learn any other way. Because our affections, because of what our affections are, because of those preconceived notions and those ideas and those things and those desires that we won't let go of, God will allow us to go through certain trials only so that gets broken off of us. I've had to do it. That's a stinky way of going through life. There's nothing worse than having to go through a trial just to teach you something. You know how you bypass that? Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll take you every time. He will not, the Holy Spirit's job, his goal, is not to take you through the worst of it. But he'll let you go through the worst of it if that's what it takes to speak to you. Amen? That doesn't mean we'll be without trial. You understand? Praise the Lord. You know, in John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God. People always talk about the love of God. John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. The love of God is that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are not just written in Scripture. God will deal with your heart on what you're supposed to do. He will deal with your heart on how you're supposed to be with somebody. You know what's awesome about following God? I can't do awesome, and sometimes it doesn't feel so awesome. But I can't go very far being wrong without knowing that I'm wrong. I mean, I will say something sharp to my wife or someone in my family or anyone, and I got to go back and apologize. Yeah. I remember one day when I was first learning this, I was at Home Depot. This guy really ticked me off. I mean, sometimes people can really tick you off out there. I was a Christian. I wasn't a pastor yet. But this guy, it was over paint. I've told some people this story before, but I'll share it again. It was over paint. What had happened is I had bought several gallons of paint, had painted most of a room. I was on a time schedule. I was short a gallon, so I went back, bought another gallon, and wouldn't you know, I get that gallon on the wall only to find out it's a different tin. Either they screwed up the first batch or they screwed up the second batch. And so I took it back to Home Depot. I was in the midst of a building project, and so I had all kinds of things going on. I take it back to Home Depot. I go to the paint guy, the paint counter, and I say, listen, I told him I had all the cans with me. I said, I bought these two, started with them. I didn't have enough. I came back and bought this one. You can see what I had here. And when I painted on the wall, it didn't match at all. And so I either need you to replace this one or I need you to replace the first two. Yeah. One of the two, but I need to get the rest of the room painted the same. And I'm already ticked because I spent all this time. Like I said, I was on a time crunch. Yeah. And the guy says to me, he's like, sure. He's like, we can do that. Accommodate you. He said, do you have a receipt? I said, no, I don't have a receipt. I'm in the midst of a building project. He said, well, I can't do anything for you then. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, well, I need proof of purchase. I looked at the guy. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. I said, this paint, this is the paint you sell in this store, right? They don't sell every, you know, they sell the certain paint at those stores. Yeah. He's like, yeah. I said, so you know this paint come from the store? Yeah, but I need proof of purchase. I said, there's your proof of purchase. Yeah. It's sitting right in front of you. I just need the colors right so I can get back and finish the job. Yeah. Well, I got mad at him, and he kept going, and I ended up swearing at him real bad. Caleb, you remember that? You were with me, I think. I ended up giving him a word, you know, and people were standing around me, you know, and all this stuff, and real great witness, you know. And so he gets flustered, and he goes ahead, and he gets it figured out. He's like, maybe we can look it up. I said, yeah, you do that. And so he looked it up, and he fixed the paint, and I left there, and I get my paint back, you know, I'm going back to that. I'm mad now because he's taking all my time. And I get back there to the place, and I start painting again, and guess what? Ooh, I just don't feel right. Just don't feel good on the inside. You know how you feel after a fight sometimes? You're like, even if you didn't cause the fight, you feel dirty. Right, exactly. And I felt dirty. And then I start getting it. You got to go back and apologize. So I'm like, no, I ain't going to do that. You got to go back. No, I'm not going to do that. But you know what? That spirit on the inside of me. See, I could have been restricted by my affections. Well, what did I do? Well, I marched myself back in there a day or two later. Go up. I want to say that I went up and found the guy, but I don't even think that was the case. I was walking down the aisle, and I see the guy in another aisle, and then the Lord speaks to me, you know, and my spirit, again, of course, is grieved, and I'm like, you got to go do it. And I'm just like, oh, man. So I go up to him, and I said, hey, I was like, you know, I said, you know, I was in here the other day. I was like, I yelled at you. I said, you know, I'm a Christian. I was like, that is not the way I'm supposed to act. I apologize. I ask for your forgiveness. And he's like, oh, man, that's nice of you, you know, whatever. And everything was great, and it was fine after that. And he was nice to me for a while. And then one day I went in there, and I had to get some molding, and the guy ticked me off again. This time, though, I didn't swear because I didn't want to have to go back and talk to him again. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But praise God. Hallelujah. It's not burdensome to keep God's commandments, the things he wants us to do, the things, because what they do is they always free us. When he gives us direction, it's to free us. See, I could have kept carrying that around. You ever carried a strife around with you? And of course, we talked about that on Sunday with peace and everything. If you carry strife, it says that every evil thing is there with it, right? Every evil thing is ready there to attack you if you're keeping strife or animosity or anything towards someone else. Because God hates divisiveness. He hates that kind of stuff. God hates strife. He operates in peace, and he wants us to as well. Amen? Praise God. Aren't we glad for it? Aren't we glad for God? I mean, I'm glad for his commandments. I'm glad they set us free. Turn with me to Acts 16. Praise the Lord. Acts 16, verse 6. Do not be a person who says, I can't because, I won't because, blah, 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 blah. Amen? You know, that's kind of how I was about flying. I'm talking about not in commercial airplanes, but in little airplanes, you know, because it seems like whenever there's a crash, it's always one of them, right? But I have that friend that has a plane, and I was not flying because I was in fear about it. And I justified it all kinds of ways. I got a family, I got ministries, this stuff. I can't risk it, all this stuff. But then here's the thing. I was like, the Lord reminded me one day when my friend invited me to go up flying. The Lord reminded me that I follow the Holy Ghost. If I start moving towards something, I'm not talking about doing something you know is purposely doing something you know is going to kill you or could kill you. You know what I mean? But that's like driving a car. You know, if we get into fear like that, we'll never even get into a car. But you know, the Holy Ghost, or the Lord reminded me that he will show me when I'm not to go somewhere or when I'm not to do something. So if I just get good at following the Holy Ghost, I ain't got to worry about stuff like that. You know what? I went up in the plane and enjoy it. Praise the Lord. And now I'm even talking about wanting to get my pilot's license. I don't know if it'll happen. It probably will. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the Lord just allows stuff like that to happen. But, you know, just to do it. Why? Because it's cool. It's freeing. Why not do it? Man, why not? Is there any reason? I don't know. Praise God. Some people get mad about stuff like that, but praise the Lord. But now we're going to see a real interesting section of Scripture. You know, and I want to share something else with you, because this Scripture, how we're getting into this Scripture, really is an example of this. Sometimes God will start dealing on your in your heart about something way before it's time to do it. Sometimes you'll start getting that little burning inside you, that little inkling, like, you know, on something. For me, a lot of times it's Scriptures, like with the Scripture. These Scriptures, probably months ago, I started having these Scriptures like burning in me for like a message, you know what I mean? To come out in a message. And they never quite got there. But then all of a sudden I was reminded of that today as the Lord delivered this to me to preach on these Scriptures that we're about to get into right here. Sometimes God, well, you'll know, you know, if you start, I always say it this way, if you start moving towards something, and it's just like, it just, nothing is working, it's just not right, there's nothing working, that means back off. You know what I mean? Now, it's different. There'll be opposition sometimes, but you'll know the difference. You know the difference when there's just opposition because you're doing something good, or there's opposition because you know, it's just not working. You keep trying it. Amen? And sometimes we just need to put things down. It almost always happens in times where we think that we have to get something done. Almost always. That's free, no charge, by the way. Hallelujah. And that's good. But that's exactly how it is. You think you got to get something done, and then all of a sudden, it's like nothing's working. So what do? Go do something else. Because, see, that's what this harkens back to that being controlled by our affections. Because in your mind, you got to get it done. Now, I'm not talking about something that is imminent, you know, like obviously, you know, like your kid needs something. You know, you don't be like, well, you know, I just haven't been good at changing diapers lately, so, and I'm only talking to a few of us in here, but you know, I'm not talking about stuff, obviously, that's imminent. You know what I mean? The house is on fire, just, you know, sit back with a cup of coffee. Yeah, I'll call the fire department in a little while. I just don't feel it right now. You know, I'm not talking about stupidity, right? Like we got, you know, when obviously sometimes you got to move. But, you know, actually this happened to me. I know there's a lot of stories here, but this stuff will help you. I've given you the example many times when we were doing the building project and I hit the deer with my car, right? Yeah. I had just spoken 15 seconds before that. I turned to Justin and I said, Justin, I got a new vehicle on the way. I was sensing it, but this is a great example. No, this will go back. This is all. I had been looking for new vehicles because I had started sensing I was going to have a new vehicle. I had no idea what was going to happen. So I went down to a dealership, started looking at vehicles that I wanted. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool, you know, and I took it for a test drive and everything. And it just, but there was something just not right with it. And so I said, not right with the vehicle, but just not right with me buying it. And so I said, you know, I'm just not ready. I just don't think this is it. And actually I had a sense if the numbers worked out, it would, but the numbers weren't working out and all this stuff. And so I left the vehicle and I just kind of went on with my day. Well, within that month, I think it was within the month, within just a few weeks, I was working on the building project. Justin and I had left late. It was like, I think it was late at night. 9:30 or 10 at night, and we were driving home, and I was driving down Baker Street. It was one of those nights. It was super dark, and of course, you've heard the story. I hit the deer. I just said to Justin, I said, I got a new vehicle on the way. I know I do. I turned back. There was a deer in the road. Boom, hit it. Airbags go off. To make a long story short, they totaled the car because the airbags went off. The whole front end was damaged. It just wasn't worth it, and I got more than what my trade was going. That was one of the hangups. Praise the Lord. But now I'm without a vehicle, right? And in a building project. I'm driving from, because we lived in Jamestown at the time, so I'm driving from Jamestown to Mayville several times every day. And that was part of our life at that time. But the insurance, you know, they gave me a rental car, but they give it to you for a certain amount of time. Now, that certain amount of time was coming up towards the end. I still didn't have a vehicle. I still didn't find one. And I was starting to get a little bit stressed about it. But I'm like, I didn't find the right one, and what I knew was this. I ain't got to rush anything. Why? Because I'm a child of the holy living God. He will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I ain't got to worry about it. It pushed it right to the wire, but I ended up getting my first truck that I had, and we got a wonderful deal on it. guy that we worked with was a Christian. All these things worked out. It was a great thing for us. It helped the building project because then I was able to even bring material, which I wasn't able to do before. So all of these things, it opened up, praise the Lord, and it was a nicer vehicle. It was a vehicle that I didn't think I could afford. I couldn't, but God put me in it. And you see, that's how things will happen. If we just will follow God and not be controlled, well, I got to get it figured out. No, you don't. What you got to do is you got to relax. You got to back off. You got to just let it happen. Amen. You let God lead you. Let God guide you and it'll work out. Now we're going to Macedonia. Amen. Acts 16, verse 6. Praise the Lord. I love these scriptures. This is such yeah, praise God. There's so much in here. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's interesting, isn't it? God didn't call you to preach everywhere. God didn't call you to fix everything. God didn't call you to help everybody. Why doesn't this church do this? Because God ain't called me to do it. If God ain't calling me to do it, I'm not doing it. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you run this program? Because God hasn't told me to. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Because God hasn't told me to. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many times I tell that to people. And they still try to make me do something that God ain't told me to do. And I'm not talking about little stuff. Of course, God don't care what color I paint the sanctuary. I mean, maybe if I was real ugly or something, he'd care. You know what I mean? Little stuff, obviously, little things. You know, there's little logistics to how we do things, you know. I don't know. There's, you know, we added an instrument on the worship team, but it wasn't the Lord telling me specifically, oh, we got to do it, but we just added it. You know, it was something. Now, the person doing it, God, you know, will seek the Lord on and stuff like that because that matters. But, you know, little things, though. What do we put plants here? Well, God just wants us to make the place excellent. He didn't care really how we do it. You know what I mean? Now, if he did, he'd tell me and I'd do it that way. You know, you understand what I'm saying. We got to have balance in all things, people. You know what I mean? Don't pray to God. Don't go seeking God what kind of toothpaste you got to buy. He don't care. Buy the one that makes your mouth feel tingly. Buy the one that doesn't make you want to gag when you're brushing your teeth. You know what I mean? There's certain toothpaste my wife buys. She bought because it was a good deal or whatever. I said, don't ever buy that toothpaste again. Or you can buy it and give it to the kids. Don't put it in my bathroom again. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want that kind of toothpaste. I want the kind that makes my mouth feel tingly and not like I got you know, butter all over it. You know what I mean? That's why it's got to coat your mouth. Those toothpaste that coat your mouth. And baking soda, I guess, is what it is. Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them. Now, I want to stop here. And I want to point out two things. And I kind of underlined and circled these in my Bible. In verse 6, I circled when. And then I underlined they had gone. And then in verse 7, I underlined they tried to go. What were the disciples doing? Were they being out of the will of God by trying? Absolutely not. What were they doing? They were trying doors. They wouldn't know whether the door would open or close unless they went up to the door and opened it. Unless they went up and jiggled the handle. And when the handle was closed, they said, okay, we won't go. But when it opens, they knew to go in. That's a metaphor. It's a proverbial door. Amen. It's not an actual door. But we see here that God, that the Holy Spirit had stopped him from several things, right? So passing by Mysia, they were right there, right? So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Concluding, you don't know if you got specific direction, do you? But see, it seemed right to them to go. Why? Because Paul didn't have Jesus appear to him. He had a man in Macedonia, some man he's never seen, appeared to him and said, come here and help me. And they concluded that this was the direction of God. And see, so this is what we have to understand about how God wants to lead us and guide us. He's going to do so by means sometimes that are slight, means that aren't just like big booming voices. Jesus doesn't appear 500 feet over Chautauqua Lake. He doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to stir up angels to surround Mayville and go, oh, play in the church. Now, he did speak to me about it, but he doesn't always do that. He doesn't always speak to you. Sometimes it's just a knowing to go. The thing is we can't get caught up in how it's going to happen. We just got to be looking for him to speak.
That's right.
Do you know God is speaking to you? If you are a child of God, I'm going to tell you something. He is speaking to you every single day, all throughout the day. If you're not hearing it, it's not because God isn't saying it. It's because you're not listening. But we will be controlled by our emotions. Well, that, I just had this thought, and I don't know. I heard people say, I heard one person tell me, you know, it just, I feel like the Lord was leading me, or I just felt like I needed to go look at buying a new house, and all these things, and all these other things were working out. To my knowledge, they never did it. Because it seemed too hard. Because it seemed like more than what God was, or more than what they were able to do, or what they could do before. But see, if God's leading it, he'll supply it. It doesn't matter if it seems like more. It doesn't matter if it seems harder. See, and that's the thing. So often we'll come up with reasons. If we're faithful, God will lead us into things that make no sense all the time. Praise the Lord. Corey made no earthly sense to go start a church in Corey. None. But we did it because God led us that way. And we'll continue it until or unless God moves us on. Praise the Lord. That's exactly how we're supposed to go through life. We're supposed to go through life looking for those opportunities, but not binding ourselves by what we say we won't do. And what you say you won't do, listen, I practice little things. It starts little. Yeah. Praise God. I won't ever do that. You know, we had a thing. I was talking to Pastor Michael about my wife, and he said, would your wife eat meat if the Lord told her? And I answered him wrong. I said, I don't know. Well, of course, Pastor Mike, you know, it did make her look great. Praise the Lord. And I came home and told her. And she's like, why would you tell him that? She's like, you know that I would do anything that the Lord told me to do. My wife's a vegetarian. Just because that's her, she would cry, but she would do it if the Lord told her to, right? So I had a meeting with him again. I went back to him and I said, Pastor Michael, I have to repent because I spoke wrong about my wife. I said, she would do anything the Lord would tell her to do. And he said, well, that's good, you know. And I said, well, can we record this so she knows that I told you that I apologize? That, of course, that was a joke, but I did tell him that, or I say that to him. But, you know, we have to be willing to do whatever God has called us to do. Even if it's little, even if it's something small. Sometimes it'll be something that'll seem so ridiculous. And God will just have you do it over and over and over again. I have example after example in my life. Can't do it now. Yeah. But we do. We have so many examples of that in our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn real quick to James 4:13. Praise God. Okay, I got a little bit more time. I go a little bit longer on Tuesdays just because I want to. But you're being blessed, amen. You're getting help because we're getting it in you. That's what we're doing, amen. I'm getting in you one way or another. If I have to preach for hours, I'll just do it that way. Just kidding, James, but not really. James 4:13, but I am. James 4:13, hallelujah. Look what it says here. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, of course, this is, you know, condensed it way down. But what it's saying is there's so many people, and Christians especially, that are constantly making plans on what they're going to do. Yes. We knew this. We knew a lady who was connected to the church, and she was getting close to retirement age, and she was insistent, when I retire, I'm living in this, I'm moving to this state because I like this state better. I want to move to the state. I'm going to do it. Okay? She was getting fed in the church. Yep. She was getting set free in the church. She was growing in the Lord in the church, and yet she made this decision. It was a matter of fact. God couldn't do anything with her. Even her pastor couldn't say anything to her. Let it happen. She's not flourishing. She's not doing anything great, you know, now for the Lord. And see, that's the thing. It's like if she had just sought God and said, you know what? If you will, you know, Lord, show me where you have me. Show me what you have. You know, some people, they retire and they think, well, you know, now it's just time to kick back. Are you kidding me? Yeah. If I had more time to do the things of God, hallelujah. Like, listen, you can rest and kick back and enjoy your time. I'm not saying you can't do that. Go on a vacation and stuff like that. But listen, we are here for such a short time. And when you say, this is what I'm going to do, then God ain't going to, you know, he can't counter that. That's why I always say it's dangerous when people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm doing this. Great. I don't know why you're saying anything to me. Why? Don't come to me telling me you're going to do something and say that I want your input. Because if you've already decided, you've already made it up. I can't. The Bible restricts me. I can't even tell you that it's wrong unless the Holy Ghost moves on me to tell you that it's wrong. Do you know how many times I've been told something I knew it was wrong? I knew it was a bad decision. But the only reason I didn't say anything is because I wasn't asked. Praise the Lord. God's the same way. When we go to God, I'm doing this. Maybe we don't even go to God. We just say, I'm doing this. This is how I'm going to do things. Then God can't move on you. You restrict yourself. You restrict the blessing. That's what we have to understand. We're restricting what God wants to do because we just won't do it. Because we have our minds made up on this. I had my mind made up. I wanted to live in the country and all this stuff. Man, my wife and I are thinking about condos now. Why? Because then we don't have to be bothered by anything. I don't know if we'll actually do it or not. But you understand what I'm saying? Because there's other factors that come into play too. But I always thought that I had to have things a certain way. And I just realized I don't. I love the house we're in. If God wants to keep us there for the rest of our lives, praise the Lord. But if he tells me tomorrow to sell it and go live in something, you know, half the size and right in the middle of town, tucked between two garages, praise the Lord. That's exactly what I'll do. Sure. I'll do whatever God has me to do. Amen. I'm not going to be restricted by the things that I won't do. Right. Because that's when we take that stance. That's why sometimes we call it we got a couple guys in here who are of the elderly persuasion. We call it the old guy syndrome. And I don't mean any disrespect. But sometimes old guys, they get, especially I see it in old men, praise the Lord. But I see this even as I get older a little bit, that temptation is there. This is how I'm going to do things. Well, praise the Lord. But it doesn't just have to be old guys. I mean, it goes to everybody. But we often tell, you know, because you think about the labor guy who's just going to do things the way he's going to do them, and ain't nobody going to change that. I mean, bless God, you know, we praise God for him and stuff like that. But it can hinder you. That thought process can hinder you because you're not willing to move. You're not willing to change. You're not willing to flow with what God has you to do. Churches get like this. They'll say, well, we won't ever use this kind of thing or that kind of thing. Now, I'm not talking about something that's sinful. Obviously, sin you can stand against and say, I'm never going to do it. You know, again, we got to have balance here. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Philippians 4:13 is where we're going to close. This scripture is so important to us. We put this, people use this scripture. They have it posted all over the place. People will pull out the scripture when they're going through trial. They'll pull out the scripture when they just don't know if God's going to come through with them. They'll put it on posters and make them feel good. This isn't just a feel-good scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a scripture of consecration. Yeah. I can and will do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is why it's important to know what God is calling you to do, because then you know you can actually do it. I can get through the other side. And yes, there is that aspect of it in there. It is in there that I can do. I can get through this. I can go through. I can pastor this church by God because God strengthens me. I'm called to do it. I can get to the other side. I can go to this church and I can flourish in this church. Why? Because this is where God has called me to be. Not because some man has made me be here. Now, listen, the pastor can be a complete idiot, but if he's preaching the word of God and it's changing your life, that's all you need. Hallelujah. You know what God does? I love it. He connects us with people that we naturally wouldn't have any affection for. Yeah. He does all the time. Yeah. Yeah. Personally speaking, I would like to sit under some black minister who's getting up there and dancing and preaching the word. Hallelujah. Yeah, I didn't want to sit under a teacher. There was no part of me that wanted to sit under a teacher. Why? Because that wasn't my affection. Yeah. But my life wouldn't have changed like it did unless I had. My life wouldn't have changed like it did unless I had sat under him. And now, of course, I don't hate it anymore. I don't resist it. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Because God has planted me here. God is going to grow me there. God will put people in your midst that you don't like. And he does it on purpose. And he's smiling the whole time he does it. Why? Because you're supposed to walk in love. You're supposed to do it better. You're supposed to pour out the love of God in your speech, in your walk, in your talk. You're supposed, and he'll put people in your life just so you can learn something. So I just endeavor, I'm going to love everybody. That way he won't bring those stupid people in my life. Amen. I'll just be good from the get-go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we might as well just get used. Hey, praise the Lord. I'll do whatever I got to do. Amen. That's why I smile. Like I said on Sunday, I'll be dumb and happy. Amen. Just be dumb and happy. Praise the Lord. I ain't gonna be moved by things. I ain't going to have those. So you bring anyone you want, God, into this church. In fact, we've prayed that prayer before. We have prayed too. You know, God, if they're here for us, we'll help them. But if not, move them the heck out. Yeah. Because there's people that have come in that have had ulterior motives. I'm not talking about anyone who's stayed any length of time, but every once in a while you have a visitor that's got visitors. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord that they got something with them. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Christians, the words that come out of your mouth should only be, I love praise the Lord, the great prophet Yoda. Anyone remember what he said? He said, do or do not. There is no try. Do or do not. I got it on my fridge, right? Do or do not. There is no try. Praise the great prophet Yoda. He told us how to do it. There is no try. I can. Either I'm going to or I'm not. I decide what I'm going to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to be the best person at my job. Yep. Either do it or don't. Yep. But there's no try. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be the best person in the church. Praise the Lord. Either do it or don't. There is no try. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The reason we can't so many times, it's because we say we can't. The reason we won't so many times is because we say we can't or we won't. Whatever our affections are will either open the door, it will help us or hinder us. You're going through trial in your life. This is a good, you know, I sent out the slick text today. Don't think I forgot about it. I say, if you're going through things, are you going through it? Are you going through the mill? Are you getting ground up and spit out? Praise the Lord. Will you just decide, I'm going to go through with God. I'm going to get to the other side, and I'm going to move on with God. I'm going through it. I'm going higher because that is who God has made me to be. Praise the Lord. God doesn't mind you getting a little bit pressed, a little bit pinched. He'll allow you to get a little bit pressed and pinched. Amen. He's proven it with me. Glory to God. But we're going to go on, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Why? Because he has made us able. We don't do it by our ability, but by his. Praise the Lord.